You are listening to the PubCase Cyber Cafe, a biweekly podcast of news about the government response to cybersecurity threats and trends, including federal, state, and international laws and regulations, and cyber in the courtroom. Hello, and welcome back to the Cyber Cafe. I'm Bill Olver, editor of PubCase Cyber. Every morning, PubCase Cyber captures the latest news and opinion related to government cybersecurity efforts, and every 2 weeks on this podcast, we recap our top headlines. NIST has released version 1.1 of its cybersecurity framework. The new version updates guidance on identity authentication, cyber risk assessment, managing cyber within the supply chain, and vulnerability disclosures. The White House is preparing to release an updated cyber strategy that will guide how the administration handles cyber defense. That strategy also will be used as the basis for a new DoD strategy expected by the end of summer. The White House has also downed a few cyber advisors. Homeland Security Advisor Tom Bossert and White House Cybersecurity Coordinator Rob Joyce both recently announced their resignations. NIST National Security Advisor John Bolton is expected to lead the effort to find their replacements. The Senate has passed the HackDHS Act, which would require DHS to create a bug bounty program. The bill would give the department $250,000 and 6 months to contract with an outside organization to run the program. DHS would be required to report any newly discovered vulnerabilities to Congress as well as its plans to fix them. DHS is not a fan of the idea, saying the program would duplicate the work of the department's own bug hunters. Officials also questioned whether $250,000 would be nearly enough money to allow the program to be successful. Senators Richard Blumenthal and Ed Markey have introduced new privacy legislation. The Consent Act would direct the FTC to establish privacy protections for customers of online edge providers. Those protections would include notifying users when their information is collected and when it is shared and with whom. The House version of a bill to reauthorize the State Department would elevate and make permanent a cyber diplomacy office with a Senate-confirmed director. The language follows the broad outlines of the office created by then-Secretary Hillary Clinton in 2011, but with a few key differences. The Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation misled Congress about the seriousness of 8 cyber breaches during late 2015 and early 2016. The breaches all stemmed from employees who left FDIC during that period and improperly took information with them. 7 of the individuals took personally identifiable information, including Social Security numbers, and the 8th took sensitive information about financial institutions. In a recent report, the Government Accountability Office discovered 8 different flaws in the system used by the Bureau of the Fiscal Service to verify the accuracy of the annual financial report it publishes for every federal agency. When combined with a handful of other unresolved issues, these new flaws could increase the risk that federal spending data could be accessed, disclosed, and possibly modified. The DHS Inspector General says the department isn't doing nearly enough to secure classified information on its intelligence systems. OIG found that DHS's continuous monitoring tools aren't interoperable and that the department hasn't established measures for whether that monitoring is effective. In a recent decision, the Court of Federal Claims held that the Social Security Administration reasonably rejected an offeror's proposal due to the increased risk posed by the connection between the offeror's suppliers and the Chinese government. Iron Bow Technologies argued that the agency unreasonably concluded that printer manufacturer Lexmark International posed a higher risk of hacking or espionage. However, the court found that SSA properly considered the possibility that Lexmark's Chinese owners would have access to the firm's financial and sales records and reasonably considered FBI warnings about the effect of Chinese laws on U.S. companies. The Federal Trade Commission will launch a small business education program on cybersecurity. Business owners told FTC they want clear, easy-to-use resources about cyber threats and how to deal with them. In general, business owners are concerned about human error that would unintentionally compromise their systems. FTC has withdrawn its original settlement agreement with Uber following the discovery that Uber withheld information about a 2016 data breach, even as the company was being investigated for an earlier 2014 breach. FTC has proposed a new order imposing additional requirements on the firm. The SEC recently reached a $35 million agreement with Altaba, which holds the remaining assets of the company formerly known as Yahoo. The settlement resolves Yahoo's liability for failing to promptly disclose a massive data breach to its investors. According to SEC, Yahoo learned of the breach in 2016 just days after it occurred, but didn't properly investigate or consider informing its investors. News of the incident became public while Yahoo was negotiating an acquisition deal with Verizon. The Department of Commerce has slapped Chinese smartphone maker ZTE with export restrictions in relation to charges that it illegally shipped telecom equipment to Iran and North Korea. A previous settlement agreement required ZTE to reprimand senior employees who had engaged in the illegal conduct. Commerce now says the firm instead paid full bonuses to them. ZTE says the ban is unacceptable and has pledged to take its complaint to court if necessary. Arizona has passed a new law requiring local companies to inform consumers of a data breach within 45 days or face fines up to $500,000. The bill does not give consumers a private right of action to directly sue companies for failure to follow the law. Delaware also recently strengthened its data security and data breach notification requirements. The revised state law includes an undefined requirement to implement and maintain reasonable procedures and practices to prevent data breaches. Delaware is now one of just a few states that require companies to provide 1 year of free credit monitoring services to individuals affected by specified breaches. And that's the news for this week. For further reading on today's topics, you can find links to our blog posts and original sources on the PubKey Cyber page where you listen to this podcast. Hope you enjoyed the presentation. Join us again in 2 weeks for another recap of cybersecurity legal news in the Cyber Cafe.